morning. It's 9 o'clock. Call the meeting to order. We have Jenny, Marie, Daniel, Kirby, and myself chairing. Looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So moved.
Motion second. By Jenny.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the August 18th, 2021 LLC meeting minutes and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to one abstention, Jenny. Moving on to current business. Public peace law.
Clarissa. This item starts on page 4 of your packet. So on October 7th, 2020, the LOC added the public peace law to its active files list. This item had been carried over from the last two LOC terms. The LOC was motivated to develop this law after hearing concerns from fellow Oneida Business Committee members, as well as members of the community, regarding issues and problems that were occurring in neighborhoods throughout the reservation. So since that time, the LOC has held 13 work meetings with a work group of representatives from the Oneida Police Department, the Oneida Law Office, the Tribal Action Plan, the Comprehensive Housing Division, and the Oneida Business Committee to work on the development of this law. So the purpose of the proposed public peace law will be to set forth community standards and expectations which preserve the peace, harmony, safety, health, and general welfare of individuals who live within the boundaries of the reservation. It will be a policy of the nation to promote peace and order within the boundaries of the reservation, while also providing an orderly process for addressing civil infractions that occur. So the public peace law will delegate jurisdiction to the trial court for any action brought under this law, delegate authority to the Oneida Police Department to investigate complaints involving civil infractions under the law and issue citations for violations, prohibit a person from committing civil infractions, provide the various civil infractions, including civil infractions against property, the peace, government, the person, civil infractions involving alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, and civil infractions affecting the health and safety. This law will provide that a citation for a violation of the law will be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's citation law. It will require that an Oneida Police Department officer provide notice to the Oneida Law Office attorney assigned to the Comprehensive Housing Division of any citation issued to an individual located at a property rented or leased through the Comprehensive Housing Division. And the law will provide the various penalties to be utilized by the trial court upon a finding that a violation of this law has occurred. Penalties will include fines, community service, participation in counseling and other programs, restitution, and any other penalty deemed appropriate by the trial court. So on April 21st, the LOC approved the draft of the public peace law and the legislative analysis. On May 5th, the LOC approved the public peace law public comment period packet and forwarded the public peace law to a public comment period to be held open until June 9th. So typically, the Legislative Procedures Act requires that the LOC hold a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on proposed legislation or ask questions, and then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual may submit written comments or questions on the proposed legislation. Now, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, we were unable to safely hold an in-person public meeting. So the nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team addressed this issue through its March 27th, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings Under the Legislative Procedures Act. So this declaration suspended the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but still allowed members of the community to participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on proposed legislation to the LOC via email during the public comment period. So during the public comment period, 6 individuals submitted written comments. On July 7th, the LOC accepted the public comments and the public comment review memo and deferred these items to a work meeting for further consideration. Then later on that same day, as well as on July 13th, the LOC reviewed and considered the written comments that were received. On July 21st, the LOC accepted the updated public comment review memo and directed the drafting attorney to prepare the final draft of the proposed public peace law. On August 4th, the LOC approved that final draft of the public peace law and a fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forwarded the memo to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by August 18th. The fiscal impact statement was received from the finance department on August 17th with an indeterminate conclusion. So since then, the LOC has decided to make one final minor change to the draft of the public peace law. On page 7 of your packet, you'll see a red line draft demonstrating the final change from the draft that was previously approved. So on page 16 of your packet, line 423, you'll see the LOC decided to remove section 309.11-1C1. So this provision previously stated, notwithstanding constraints imposed by any rules promulgated under any laws of the nation governing leases, eviction, or termination, the Oneida Law Office attorney is vested with the discretion to resolve any housing-related enforcement occurring in accordance with this law to the mutual benefit of all involved parties. So the LOC determined that section 309.11-1C1 was not entirely appropriate in the public peace law. The goal of this provision originally was to provide greater flexibility for the Comprehensive Housing Division and its attorney in finding equitable solutions during enforcements of a lease or rental agreement that occur as a result of a violation of this law. But since the public peace law does not address any of the enforcement procedures and expectations involved in the rental or lease agreement with the Comprehensive Housing Division, the Legislative Operating Committee felt this provision was misplaced. The LOC wants it to be more clear that although violations and enforcement of the public peace law may be noticed to the Comprehensive Housing Division and that may trigger enforcement action by the Comprehensive Housing Division, the enforcement by the Comprehensive Housing Division is a separate action that is governed by different laws and rules of the nation, not the public peace law. So the LOC felt that how the enforcement of leases or rental agreements are enforced is an important issue that needs to be further discussed and codified, just not in the public peace law. So the LOC has began scheduling work meetings for amendments to the real property law so that conversations regarding broader housing policies can begin to be discussed and amended. So overall, the public peace law is now ready for consideration of adoption. Next in your packet, you'll see the adoption packet for this item. So on page 18 of the packet, you'll find the adoption memo. So this memo contains much of the background information I provided you with this morning. So next, I'll walk you through the remaining documents included in the adoption packet. So on page 20, you'll see the adopting resolution. The Legislative Procedures Act requires that all legislation of the nation be adopted through a resolution. So this resolution summarizes the proposed law and highlights that the requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act have been met. This resolution provides that the proposed law will become effective on September 22nd, 2021. Then on page 22, you'll see the statement of effect. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adoption of the resolution would have on the nation. So this statement of effect identifies that adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So adoption of this resolution complies with the Legislative Procedures Act as it has been modified by the COVID-19 core decision-making team's suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration. Then on page 24, you'll find the legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding that legislation. On page 34 of your packet is the clean draft. So the clean draft is what the law would look like if the proposed law was adopted as is. Then on page 45, you'll find the fiscal impact statement provided by the finance department. A fiscal impact statement means an estimate of the total identifiable fiscal year financial effects associated with legislation and includes startup costs, personnel, office, documentation costs, as well as an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the public peace law is now ready to be forwarded to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration of adoption. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the public peace law adoption packet with the updated materials and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny.
Support.
Supported by Kirby. Questions or comments?
Yes, ma'am.
If none, all in favor and say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
We do have a second resolution for this item that will need to be forwarded to the Oneida Business Committee in conjunction with the adoption materials for the proposed public peace law. So in your packet on page 49, you'll see the resolution titled Public Peace Law Citation Schedule. So the law provides that an individual who violates a provision of the law by committing a civil infraction may be subject to the issuance of a citation by an Oneida Police Department officer. Any citation issued for a violation of this law will be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's citation law. The trial court is in delegated jurisdiction over any action brought under the law. The Oneida Business Committee is delegated authority to adopt through resolution a citation schedule which sets forth specific fine amounts for violations of this law. So the purpose of this resolution is to do just that. So through this resolution, the Oneida Business Committee would be setting forth a citation schedule to be used for violations of the public peace law. So this resolution was developed in collaboration with the Oneida Law Office and the Oneida Police Department. This resolution also addresses when a mandatory appearance may be required by an individual at a citation pre-hearing, other penalties that may be issued by the court, referrals for criminal prosecution, and how to calculate subsequent offenses for minors. So if adopted by the business committee, this resolution would become effective on September 22nd, 2021, when the public peace law goes into effect. So there is a statement of effect attached on page 53 of your packet that identifies that adoption of this resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So we're now asking the LOC to consider a motion to approve the resolution titled Public Peace Law Citation Schedule and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Kirby, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? Go ahead, Kirby.
Yeah, I just want to mention that the public peace law citation schedule, the LOC met with the OPD, and I know you stated it, the Oneida Police Department, the law office. Was conservation also included in that?
No, just the Oneida Police Department.
Okay. I do recall going to the different fees, and it was recommended, and we looked at other municipality citation schedules, but a lot of time went into that schedule. I just wanted to note that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirby. Any other comments or questions? I'm not seeing any, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to the Oneida General Welfare Law Amendments. It's on here.
Okay, so the Oneida General Welfare Law starts on page 55 of your packet. So the Oneida General Welfare Law was adopted by the Business Committee on an emergency basis through Resolution 812 BC 812-20D for the purpose of providing assistance on a non-taxable basis to eligible tribal members through approved programs that promote the general welfare of the nation, including programs designed to enhance the promotion of health, education, self-sufficiency, self-determination, and the maintenance of culture and tradition, entrepreneurship, and employment. So the emergency adoption of this law was originally set to expire on February 12, 2021. So emergency amendments to the law were then adopted by the Oneida Business Committee through Resolution BC 21021B for the purpose of addressing how an improved program of the nation could be adopted by the Oneida Business Committee in an effort to allow for more flexibility and efficiency in addressing the needs of the nation. So these emergency amendments were set to expire on August 10, 2021. The Oneida Business Committee extended the emergency amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law for an additional six-month period through the adoption of Resolution BC 72821M. So the emergency amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law will now expire on February 10, 2022. So the LOC is now preparing the Oneida General Welfare Law for permanent adoption. On page 58 of your packet, you'll find a redline draft which demonstrates changes the LOC would like to make to the Oneida General Welfare Law on a permanent basis from the currently effective emergency draft. So many of the proposed changes from the current emergency draft did not change the content or substance of the law, but instead changed how it was organized and written in an effort to be easier to understand. On page 64, you'll find the clean draft, which demonstrates what the law would look like if adopted as is. So we're asking the LOC to consider a motion to approve the draft of the Oneida General Welfare Law and direct that a legislative analysis be completed.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? I see none, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carried. Moving on to the new submissions, the disability fund policy amendments. At this time, I'm going to be asking to table this because we have another meeting this afternoon. And if you are interested to be called into the meeting, I would call you in just to have a discussion about it. They're willing to work with us now, so I'm just more or less looking for a motion to table at this time.
Motion to table.
Motion to table by Marie.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? If none, all in our discussion. No discussion on tabling, so. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to administrative updates, I would like to have Jackie called in if she's not already on. I don't see her, so I'll call her in. Mark, is there anybody else that needs to be called in? I called in Jackie and I called in Crystal.
The only person, well, I think that should be adequate, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, should I introduce it first?
We'll wait till they get on. I'm calling them in. Is on, and we're just waiting for Jackie. Jackie's on now too. Okay, now we're moving on to administrative updates. Certification of leasing law, rule number 5, tribal housing, reacquisition, and individual fee and trust title, thrift.
Okay. Good morning. This item starts on page 69 of the packet. On August 20th, 2021, the Comprehensive Housing Division, along with the Department of Public Works, submitted a certification packet to the Legislative Reference Office seeking certification from the Legislative Operating Committee for Leasing Law Rule Number 5, Tribal Housing Reacquisition of Individual Fee and Trust Title, which is more commonly referred to as the Thrift Rule, and for Leasing Law Rule Number 6, Home Ownership by Independent Purchase Program, which is more commonly known as the HIP Rule. Rule certification is governed by the nation's administrative rulemaking law. Per Section 106.7-2 of the law, the Legislative Operating Committee is responsible for certifying that a proposed rule meets the following requirements before forwarding on to the United Business Committee for adoption. First, that promulgation of the rule complies with the procedural requirements contained in the law. Two, that the administrative record is complete. And three, that the rule does not exceed its rulemaking authority or conflict with any other law, policy, rule, or resolution of the nation. With respect to the first requirement, which is that promulgation of the rule complies with the procedural requirements contained in the law, The LOC will have to find good cause to overcome a timing issue before it can certify either of the rules before it today. According to the administrative rulemaking law, after the public comment period has expired and the authorized agency has considered all public comments received, the authorized agency shall submit the proposed rule and all items contained in the administrative record described in Section 106.11 to the Legislative Operating Committee. The authorized agency shall submit the rule for certification by the Legislative Operating Committee within 6 months after the public comment period has expired, unless the Legislative Operating Committee determines there is good cause to go outside of the time limits. For both rules before the LOC today, the public meeting was held on January 9th, 2020, and the public comment period was held open until January 17th, 2020. Per the above provision, both rules should have been submitted on or before July 17th, 2020 to meet the 6-month deadline for certification to occur absent a finding of good cause. The director of the Department of Public Works did include a memorandum within the certification packet seeking a finding of good cause by the LOC based on the information that is contained therein. For purposes of complete record, I will read the basis for good cause finding. And the memorandum reads as follows. Comprehensive Housing Division received the memorandum from the Legislative Operating Committee regarding the certification of leasing rules 5 and 6 for the thrift and HIP rules respectively, and is appreciative of your explanation of the remaining hurdles to certification of the rules. Comprehensive Housing Division respectfully requests consideration from the LOC for certification of the rules, even though the public meeting comments were collected more than 6 months from the date CHD submitted them for certification based on good cause. For both rules, there were staffing issues at play, as well as the onset and the United Nations response to COVID-19, which reallocated available funding for transactions pursuant to the rules. In terms of staffing, CHD staff were working under the guidance of CHD attorney Crystal John, who took an unexpected early maternity leave in the first week of February 2020, just as CHD was preparing to submit the rules for certification. These rules were and are a priority for CHD and the Oneida Land Commission. In the time after the comment period closed for the public meeting on January 17, 2020, and the time of our attorney's unexpected leave, we had already reviewed comments, drafted responses, made minimal revisions, and forwarded the finished rules to the Oneida Land Commission for their consideration. With our attorney's unexpected early leave, we paused the work on the rules and presumed we would pick it back up with her when she returned from maternity leave, which would have been within the allowable 6-month period for certification. Instead, CHD had to shift its focus to the COVID-19 response and its impacts on CHD staff, tenants, and lessees. It was during this time that CHD and the CEDD began reporting to DPW, and priorities were established to address the vacant housing units and address homelessness. My focus was on creating processes to reduce the vacancy rates and develop plans for the CARES funding. Because there was not available tribal contribution funding to implement the HIP or thrift programs at the time, the work to pass these rules was not as urgent, given competing issues needing attention. Oneida's response to the global COVID-19 pandemic required the rerouting of the land acquisition budget to the general fund, so there was no longer any available budget to complete acquisitions pursuant to the rules. With so many other things to focus on to keep CHD running as smoothly as possible throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, CHD deprioritized the rules because it was temporarily financially impossible to implement them. Since the adoption of BC Resolution 6921A, which reallocated funds to acquisitions pursuant to the rules, CHD has been working diligently to move these rules forward for certification. While CHD understands the importance of the public comment period and receipt of input from the community, CHD truly believes it is presenting rules that would not be largely, if at all, impacted by the offering of an additional comment period. Further, CHD strongly believes that the community would be the only party harmed by any further delay in certifying and implementing these rules that help Oneida tribal members achieve affordable home ownership. Again, CHD respectfully requests consideration from the LOC for certification of the rules, even though the public meeting comments were collected more than 6 months from the date CHD submitted them for certification based on good cause as identified in this memorandum. So that would be your basis for a good cause finding should you choose to certify these rules. Now I will move to the specific rules at hand. And we'll begin with thrift. So that's turning your attention now to the thrift rule. The Legislative Reference Office has received the certified packet that is included in its entirety within today's LOC meeting packet, and has concluded, as set forth in the certification memo that starts on page 69 of your packet, that subject to a good cause finding by the LOC, as well as the incorporation of the correct statement of effect that I have attached to the memo and is in the record as well, the certification packet provided by the CHD contained all documentation required by the administrative rulemaking law for a complete administrative record. The promulgation of the rule has complied with the procedural requirements contained in the administrative rulemaking law, subject to that good cause finding, and the rule did not exceed the rulemaking authority granted under the administrative rulemaking law for which the rule is being promulgated. The purpose of the thrift rule is to increase the nation's land base while maintaining individual home ownership. Through the thrift program, eligible homeowners can sell their land to the nation and then enter into a residential lease with the Comprehensive Housing Division that will allow them to retain ownership of the improvements as well as rights to land upon which those improvements are located. If this rule would be adopted by the United Business Committee, the rule would become effective within 10 business days of adoption. So at this time, I would be looking for a motion from the Legislative Operating Committee to certify the Leasing Law Rule Number 5, Tribal Housing Reacquisition of Individual Fee and Trust Title, finding good cause in accordance with Section 106.7-1 sub A of the Administrative Rulemaking Law, and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny. Seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? I see none, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to rule number certification for leasing law, rule number 6, home ownership.
Okay. Aye. This item begins on page 111 of the packet. And the purpose of the HIP rule is to expand the services being offered by the nation through a program in which the prospective lessee buyer initiates a purchase where the buyer purchases the improvements, the nation purchases the land per the Land Management Land Acquisition for Residential Leasing Standard Operating Procedure, and the buyer then enters into a HIP residential lease for the land through the Comprehensive Housing Division. Amendments to the rule are being pursued to modify the existing HIP program process as follows. One, to address the division of CHD and land management. Two, to incorporate the updated residential leasing rules, which now allow parties to have more than one lease at a time. And three, to open up the HIP program to non-tribal members. The Legislative Reference Office has reviewed the certification packet that is included in its entirety within today's LOC meeting packet, and has concluded, as set forth in the certification memo included therewith, that subject to the good cause finding by the LOC that was discussed above to overcome the timing issue, the certification packet provided by the CHD contained all documentation required by the administrative rulemaking law for a complete administrative record. The promulgation of the rule complied with the procedural requirements contained in the administrative rulemaking law, and the rule did not exceed the rulemaking authority granted under the administrative rulemaking law for which the rule is being promulgated. So at this time, I would be looking for a motion from the Legislative Reference Office to certify the Leasing Law Rule Number 6, Home Ownership by Independent Purchase Program, finding good cause in accordance with Section 106.7-1 sub A of the administrative rulemaking law, and to forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny.
Support.
Seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments?
Comments.
Marie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that the LOC's role to review and make sure that the rulemaking guideline has been in place and followed, and it looks like it has, but with this rule that I am reviewing from the current rule that's published on a website. It says the purpose of the home ownership by independent purchase program is to expand the services being offered to tribal members by providing a program in which tribal member buyer initiates a purchase in which the buyer purchases the improvements and the tribe purchases the land. And then the policy goes on to say, the policy behind the HIP program is to increase tribal member home ownership and the land base available for the fee to trust process while simultaneously affording tribal members greater independence in the purchase process by requiring the buyer to negotiate the purchase offer independent of the tribe. Excellent program. The new changes that we have in front of us removes the purpose, the original intent, and the scope of the program for tribal members. And it now includes non-tribal members are able to apply for this program. This tells me that the program no longer serves the community at large solely. And now the tribal member will now compete with any non-tribal member for the HIP program. My concerns are that if land management has funding to purchase land for the HIP program, that funding should be reserved for tribal members only. And if that funding is depleted because non-tribal members are using this program, that will leave our community members with no opportunity because the money would be depleted. In this law, I don't believe it serves our community. With the current housing inventory that we have during a pandemic, we discovered homelessness was severe. We currently have 278 on the home waiting list to either get into an elder apartment, an income-based rental, a general rental, or rent a home. We have a severe shortage in housing here, and I don't feel comfortable opening up a program that includes non-tribal members with these conditions and in this environment. That's all my comments for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. I have Crystal John. Go ahead.
My only comment about that is that the non-tribal member portion would not be available immediately. We've already, Comprehensive Housing Division and the Land Commission has already discussed that wouldn't be ready to launch for some time yet for multiple reasons. The first being that there's not currently a loan program to service it because HUD is the 184 loans that the HIP program currently uses are for tribal members. Bay Bank was going to look at creating a loan program of their own that could potentially service these for non-tribal members. The Land Commission's goal in writing the rule so that it could be open to non-tribals is that it would allow them to acquire a land base that expands our jurisdiction at a set rate so that they're competing with the market reasonably instead of paying higher prices when people know that the tribe is the purchaser. And then again, expanding the nation's jurisdiction. So those were the goals that the Land Commission had when they added that in there. It was discussed at great length between CHD and the Land Commission and decided that now is not the time to open the program up, but there was a preference to leave it so that it could be opened in the future at a time that CHD and the Land Commission believe that it is more appropriate. So in the meantime, they won't go through. The Comprehensive Housing Division will work on a resolution identifying that that portion is not currently available. Even without the resolution, though, the Land Commission has to individually approve leases for any people that are not tribal members under the residential leasing rule. So each lease that would go to a non-tribal member would require individual approval from the Land Commission, even for the time period until a resolution from Land Commission is adopted that postpones opening it to tribal members.
Okay, thank you, Crystal, for your clarification. I think at this time that I just know that certain one of us are not comfortable with leaving it in there right now. I know we can't make the change today, but it could possibly be made on the day of the business committee meeting. So, Jackie?
I also would support the removal of that. It was in there when I started at comprehensive housing. I questioned it, and due to the process it takes to remove it through the LOC process and weighing the need for homeowners, tribal members to be able to have access to this program, I did send in the memo to approve it, but I also support removing that section.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, and with Marie sharing the waiting list for some of these homes, I can see the need to just hold off on that right now. And if that is the case in the future, is to maybe bring it back and we'll make the change later on. But right now, we are not comfortable about moving forward by leaving that in. So I'll go back to Crystal. You have your hand up yet?
My only comment is that I think that Land Commission needs to be involved or invited to the meeting if the request is to change it at the BC level, because they were the party who was staying strong on wanting the ability to open it to non-tribals in the future.
Yep, and we'd be open to that as well. It's all meetings are public meetings and they're able to attend.
I'm just saying, I think it would be good if, or well, I suppose I can send a notice to them. I just think they need to get a notice of the request to change, or I think it would be good to get it to your chairperson.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Clarissa.
I just wanted to highlight that the Land Commission, as well as the Land Commission chair, was notified that this item was going to be on the LOC agenda today, so that they had noticed in case they wanted to participate in the discussion of this rule.
Thank you, Clarissa. Jackie, you have any more comments? Your hand's still up.
Nope, sorry for that.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Jenny.
So I understand we're just approving the process here today, but when it comes to the BC meeting, when it goes to the next BC meeting, my question is, was the chair of the Land Commission invited to that meeting then? I know you said they were invited to this one, but actually where changes can be made would be at the BC meeting. So do you know if they were invited for that one?
Not technically yet, because we have not yet submitted our material to mm-hmm. the BC meeting. So after okay. they're approved or certified today, then we would send it to the BC. At that time, Kristen can send communication to the departments and to the Land Commission, letting them know that the LOC did certify it and it's going to next week's meeting.
Okay, can we make sure we do that then? Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Any other questions or comments? I see none, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
Opposed.
One opposed, Marie. Okay, that concludes our agenda for today. We're looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:39.
Motion to adjourn, 9:39.
Motion by Marie, seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thanks, everybody.